rising suns and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. The word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 through 12, we'll read responsively. Lord, you have been our refuge
from one generation to another.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born,
from age to age, you are God.
You turn us back to the dust and say,
go back, O child of earth.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. You sweep us away like a dream.
We fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes.
In the evening it is dried up and withered.
For we consume away in your displeasure.
We are afraid because of your wrathful indignation.
Our iniquities you have set before you.
Our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
When you are angry, all our days are gone. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80.
Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away with thee and hear not.
Who regards the power of your wrath?
Who rightly fears your indignation?
So teach us to number our days,
that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day will surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
Lord, to whom shall we go?
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here, and I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, we're almost at the end of the church year with the familiar promises and warnings that the Lord is going to return. Things will go well for those who are in Christ, but it'll be terrible for those who are not. The parable of the talents is Jesus' longest parable, and it comes right on the heels of a previous parable, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And the most striking similarity with those two parables is the absence of the master. The bridesmaids in the first parable are to fill their lamps with oil, being ready for the celebration at the bridegroom's coming. And in the second, the servants are to manage the wealth of their master while he's gone. The message is, be prepared, be alert. Do what you can while it still is day, because the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And there's an element of surprise in both. Are you ready? Are we ready today? Greg Johnson and I were roommates in Grand Forks while going to grad school in biology. And Dr. Oring, the ornithologist, asked us, would you like to house sit while I do my field work? He would be house sitting for the summer. Say, hey, two single guys. Hey, this sounds like a great thing. Sounded great and a nice house. Yeah, we said we can do that. We made sure we cranked up his nice stereo equipment with the Beatles, and we made the most of our time there. We enjoyed the high life. Then Greg had a goofy idea. Let's make some wine out of Welch's grape juice. Just put a little yeast in the Welch's grape juice and see what happens. Well, one day, Dr. Oring came back unexpectedly, and he left a note in the kitchen. He said, I don't mind the disarray of the living room, but the grape juice on the ceiling in the kitchen is a bit much. Busted. Busted. Obviously, we cleaned things up, and fortunately, we weren't kicked out. He was gracious. They say the definition of character is what you're doing when no one is watching. We didn't display much character, good character, in that house. Our Lord comes like a thief in the night. So don't be caught off guard. Be ready. Our epistle text says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We should be able to detect when things are moving, the signs around us. But it's so easy to go sleepwalking through life, not being ready spiritually, with no sense of urgency. We've seen most recently on the world stage how Israel was surprised by the Hamas, as tragically 1,400 people were murdered and 240 were brought as hostages, men, women, and children. And they're still hostages in Gaza. Israel has retaliated, bringing destruction to Gaza, thousands of Palestinians being killed, with Hamas using many as human shields, often in hospitals. Terrible loss of life. Terrible. Horrible. And we pray for a peaceful resolution in that region that has been at odds for centuries. We pray that our military is prepared and ready so that we're not surprised by the enemy. And you wonder, as a Chinese spy balloon made it across the United States before being shot down on the East Coast. The theme of the Strategic Air Command is readiness is our profession. We count on that readiness to protect us from those who would try to take us down. This is our calling or profession as followers of Christ. Always be ready to give account for your faith that is in you. A sense of urgency, a sense of great responsibility. Luther was asked what he would do if he knew Jesus was coming tomorrow. He said he would continue working in the apple orchard because that was his job in the monastery. He would continue to be faithful in his calling in that place. Be faithful to the end. Don't give up. Don't be complacent. And don't fall asleep at the wheel as Christians. So the parable of the talents is not about our gifts and talents, but about the highest form of coinage in the Jewish society. It was a lot of money, a talent. And the master entrusted his servants to manage his wealth and property. To one he gave 5 talents to manage, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. And the scripture says, each to their own ability. Then he went away. And like I said, character is doing things, what you're doing when no one is watching. The one who had 5 talents invested them and made 5 more. The one who had 2 talents invested them and made 2 more. But the one who had the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now the master returned after a long time and settled accounts with them. You know he's going to be pleased with the first 2 because they doubled his money. It's time to celebrate and party with the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. And now there's a reckoning with the one servant who took the 1 talent and buried it into the ground. This scene was not so pretty. He actually accused the master of being a hard man. That's why he did nothing with his talent. Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. The master was not pleased because this wicked servant could have at least invested this money with the bankers and earned some interest. He could have done that much. So in fact, this slothful servant lost some money for his master. Not good. Not good. So the master took the 1 talent and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. And the master, who is Jesus behind this story, says, for everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The end of this parable is not pretty, as this lazy servant was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to hear that sound. What to make of all this? Is this a lesson of the blessing of capitalism, where deferred gratification through wise investment brings economic success? Could be. Is it a message of working harder to please God, the Master, and avoiding laziness? Sounds a bit like works righteousness. Or is it about stewardship? What do we do with what God has given us? Two Saturdays ago, we talked about God's covenant with Abraham and the promise given that he would have land, offspring, and be a blessing to the nations. We are to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing is the theme. And the Westminster Confession says, man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our purpose, to glorify God, using the gifts he's given us to bless others, and in so doing, enjoying our serving. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. We have a God of abundance. God is not chintzy, and God is not a tither. He didn't have 10 sons from which to give one son. He only had one son, and he gave it all in Jesus Christ to sacrifice his life that we might live with him forever. We are bought not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says in Luke 12, to whom much is given, much is required. The first two servants knew this, I believe. And my sense is that they had a healthy relationship with their master. They wanted to please their master by investing what they had and doubling the wealth of their master. And there must have been a sense of pride in knowing the master trusted them with quite a significant amount of money. That was a lot of money. Master's going to trust us with that. But the last servant, the one with one talent, his relationship with his master was based on fear. He accused his master of being a hard man. Maybe you've had a tough boss. I had many in the Air Force, many different kinds. One that you're afraid of. They're wrapped too tightly around the axle, you might say. Do you do more for that boss or just enough to keep your nose clean? But how about those bosses who value you and your gifts? Don't you want to do even more than required for the joy of working for that man or woman? Have you had a boss like that? Fear immobilizes us. And yes, fear can be that fire lit under us to get us moving. There can be something good about fear. But fear can only get us so far. And maybe this text is more about our relationship with our Heavenly Father than anything. Do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and mind and strength? Or do we see our Father in heaven as a hard man, a God of wrath and judgment who's out to get us when we slip up? This points out as to how we live out our Christian lives. Is our management and stewardship of our lives based on fear and guilt or the desire to glorify God and bless others whom he loves? A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Hedman related to the Apostles' Creed and how Harry Wendt, the author of Crossways, said this first part of the Apostles' Creed, the first article, should be modified to say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker and owner of heaven and earth. God owns everything. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Luther explained the first article of the Apostles' Creed this way. I believe that God has created me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, also clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods, and so on. How can we not praise him? For he is good. And his mercies endures forever. Now my sermon transitions to what we're about to do as a congregation, and I just realized we're not going to vote on a sanctuary today, right? But I ask you to take this for what it's worth. I say, how appropriate is this text as Emmanuel considers a historic decision to launch the building of a sanctuary for worship? Because we believe in a big God, the God of abundance, the God who has blessed us to be a blessing. And I can tell you that Debbie and I are bullish on Emmanuel. We want Emmanuel to succeed, not just for Emmanuel's sake, but for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom of God. When we are preparing to move to Rochester, we made sure there was a North American Lutheran church in this area. St. Charles was a possibility, but that was 20 miles away. We learned of a mission congregation that had even purchased their own land and were ready to move forward. We were excited that God had established a beachhead for Christ in the third largest city in Minnesota, Rochester. Minnesota is certainly the holy land for Lutheranism. There are many Lutheran churches in Rochester, ELCA, Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod, Lutheran Brethren. So why an NALC church? I had left the ELCA in 2010 after helping a second congregation leave the ELCA because of the authority of Scripture and the slippery slope the ELCA was on in regards to human sexuality. The NALC has a high view of Scripture and the authority, its authority for life and faith. I have a hard regard for its leaders, such as Dan Selba, whom I got to know in California. I consider him a good friend. He's a real Jesus man. He loves Jesus and is now the bishop of the NALC. We lost Jim Nestigan, one of the great theologians who held the line through his scriptural scholarship. Why do we need an NALC church in Rochester? Because of its core values: Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, congregationally focused. Jesus is always central. The Great Commission is touted from our leadership on down, and we need to get on board as a congregation. Though we have just over 400 congregations in the U.S., we are the fastest growing Lutheran body. Plus, we're the only Lutheran denomination that has full communion fellowship with Makani Yesus in Ethiopia, the largest Lutheran body in the world, over 9 million members. They encourage us as we fight the good fight of faith over here. They inspire us to see God at work, bringing throngs into the kingdom of God, building a seminary, preparing more missionaries for God's service. And to tell the truth, we need those Ethiopian missionaries to come to America to energize us in our faith. No, the NALC is not without sin. We certainly rely on God's amazing grace and forgiveness like anyone else. We treasure this unmerited love called grace, but steer away from cheap grace, forgiveness without repentance. We believe in the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. One of my proudest moments as a member of the NALC was to hear Melissa Oden at a convocation in Corpus Christi. And that's where I met Deb and Judy there. They were delegates at that time. She's a survivor of saline abortion, strong pro-life advocate. When she finished sharing her story, the whole convocation rose and gave her a standing ovation. I don't think she would be invited at a conference at my previous Lutheran denomination. And yes, we strive for justice and peace in the NALC. Love for Jesus motivates us to care for the least of these in our world and our communities. Jesus cares for the poor and the marginalized, and so should we. So now this is my take on why we're bullish on Emmanuel Rochester and why we think it's vitally important that the NALC has a beachhead in this city. You may have other reasons you're glad to have an NALC church in Rochester. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts. Our scripture lessons for today remind us of being alert for the signs around us, of the responsibility we have as stewards of what God has given us. Do we take the resources he's given us, invest them as an eternal investment, or do we bury them in the sand? Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Debbie and I are bullish on Emmanuel because God is with us. That's the meaning of Emmanuel. And we have to admit that we haven't given sacrificially before. And we think back in our lives as a married couple, have we really given sacrificially? We are tithers, and we give beyond the tithe to other ministries, but have we given sacrificially in response to God who gave the greatest sacrifice of all in Jesus? Have we given till it hurts? We don't know. This is a new experience for us, investing in a church building project. And we pray that God will multiply our giving many times over to his glory. We were privileged to attend the New Life Banquet in Bloomington recently. It was the 50th anniversary of New Life. We heard Tim Tebow relate a story of a wealthy businessman getting on board an airplane, looking for his seat as he's walking down the aisle. And he notices in the seat next to him that there's someone with a shawl on her head and a nun's dress. And he asked the stewardess, who might that be? And she said, it's Mother Teresa. The businessman was excited that he was going to sit next to the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Mother Teresa. And he sat down and introduced himself to her. She shared her ministry in Calcutta, ministering and caring for the poorest of the poor. On that note, he took out his checkbook. Well, he was in rapt attention, asked how he could help. And she said anything given would be used to transform society and bring hope to the lost and the poor. And on that note, he took out his pocketbook and wrote out a check for $200,000. He handed it to Mother Teresa and said, there, that should take care of it. She took the check, folded it, and handed it back to the businessman. She said, I don't want to take it if it's not a sacrifice. The businessman then wrote another check for $1.5 million. He said, that hurt. It gives us something to ponder as we think about giving sacrificially, remembering what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So I finish with what David Platt wrote from his book, Radical, Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream. And he says this. I think these are good words for what we're contemplating as a church. You and I have an average of 70 or 80 years on this earth. During these years, we are bombarded with the temporary. Make money, get stuff, be comfortable, live well, have fun. In the middle of it all, we get blinded to the eternal, but it's there. You and I stand on the porch of eternity. Both of us will soon stand before God to give an account of our stewardship of our time, the resources, the gifts, and ultimately the gospel he has entrusted to us. When the day comes, I am convinced that we will not wish we had given more of ourselves to living the American dream. We will not wish we had made more money, acquired more stuff, lived more comfortably, taken more vacations, watched more television, pursued greater retirement, or been more successful in the eyes of the world. Instead, we will wish we had given more of ourselves to living for the day when every nation, tribe, people, and language will bow around the throne and sing the praises of the Savior, who delights in radical obedience, and the God who deserves eternal worship. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. May it be so. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day and by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. Great God of heaven, thy treasure thou art. Light of my soul, ever victory.
I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated for our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, through water and the Word, you have washed away our sins and given us a promise in which we can trust. We thank you for laying claim to us in our baptism and adopting us as your own. Help us to live lives of trust and repentance. Give us new life by the work of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, the giver of all good gifts. Thank you for giving us a place within your family and for lavishing your blessings upon us. Grant us the gift of truly thankful hearts and a willingness to express our thanks with joyful songs of praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be with all those who are traveling to distant places this week. Grant them safety on the roads and in the air. Be with all who operate or work on airlines, railroads, taxis, or buses. Give people patience and consideration as they make their way to and from family gatherings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all creation, you have filled the earth with wondrous natural resources. Grant that they would be used with care and that all would benefit from their usage. Protect against those who would hoard resources for gain from taking them away from others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord, I pray for the North American Lutheran Church and its mission to spread the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ, to be Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. We pray for its bishop, Dan Selbo, to give him a vision and surround him with expert people who love the Lord and will assist and encourage Dan in his ministry and role as bishop of the North American Lutheran Church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I pray for Emmanuel Lutheran Church and its future and the deliberation which we are about to do, and the vision to not only be about ourselves, but about our community and glorifying you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the call process, that you've already selected a shepherd to shepherd this congregation. Lord, give us discernment and wisdom in the call process. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share the peace with one another. Dave, peace of the Lord be with you.
Yeah.
Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord, Larry. Peace of the Lord, Carl. Peace of the Lord, Sharon. God bless you. Peace of the Lord, Spence. Peace of the Lord, Judy. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord, Daryl. Yeah. Bet. Peace of the Lord, Lee. I apologize. I didn't know there was not a congregational meeting. Just fizzled, huh? Okay. We'll find out later.
Yeah.
Peace of the Lord, Liz. Please be seated as we receive our afternoon offering. Rise for the offertory response. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hope and the dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, Lord, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it and gave thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Amen.
Please join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated as we sing Lamb of God and prepare our hearts for this holy meal. And we have gluten-free as well. Come, for all is ready.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us.
Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Joe, the body of Christ given for you. Larry, the body of Christ given for you. Liz, the body of Christ given for you. Heart, the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Elise, the body of Christ given for you. Luke, do you take communion? Body of Christ given for you. Jeff, the body of Christ given for you. Jenna, the body of Christ given for you. Hope, the body of Christ given for you. Nora, the body of Christ given for you. Matt, the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, Scarlett. Body of Christ given for you, Carl. Body of Christ given for you, Debbie. Margene, the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, Sharon. Spence, the body of Christ given for you. Letha, the body of Christ given for you. Daryl, the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, Samia. The body of Christ given for you, Arnie. Judy, the body of Christ given for you. Philip, the body of Christ given for you. Take. I just happen to have some. The body of Christ given for you, Leroy. Julie, the body of Christ given for you. Mason, the body of Christ given for you. Whoops. Let me give you another one. There you go. Body of Christ given for you. Judy, the body of Christ given for you. Lisa, the body of Christ given for you. Mary Jo, the body of Christ given for you. Dan, the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, Rich. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Peg, the body of Christ given for you. Don, the body of Christ given for you. Julie, the body of Christ given for you.
because that's it.
Mary, on the body of Christ given for you. Drink out of the chalice, the body of Christ given for you, Lee, the blood of Christ shed for you. How great thou art and how great he is as we worship him in spirit and in truth. I invite you to stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Thankful hearts and voices raise, tell everyone what God has done. Let all who see the Lord rejoice and bear Christ's holy name. Send us with your promises, O God, and lead us forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving.
Now receive this benediction. As you go, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to grant you his eternal peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing for the fruit of all creation.
Thanks be to God for his gifts to every nation. Thanks be to God for the plowing, sowing, weeping, silent growth while we are sleeping, future needs in earth safe keeping. Thanks be to God. Just reward of labor, God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In our worldwide task of caring for the hungry and despairing, in the harvest we are sharing, God's will is done. For the harvest of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the truth that has been around us, for the truth that still confound us, thanks be to God.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, am I in? Hot mic. All right. If you could just bear with me, I'm going to get my PowerPoint loaded up and get some quick numbers updated, because we had a few more pledges come in this evening that were tallied and want to give you the most up-to-date.